This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you in this half hour brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online, sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. Terrific service department that backs it up every step of the way. At Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. And then with that, we go to the Midwest where the great guru of football himself, Neil Coulon, joins us. Sir, welcome.
As always, it's my pleasure to be here. I hope you guys are having a fantastic day.
Trying to get through it, yeah. The quarterback situation for the Steelers, we know it's supposed to be Russell Wilson 1, Justin Fields 2. I know Fields is off to a good start. Wilson's been banged up. What's your thought on that? Because there's such a long way to go before we do get to an actual game.
You know, I think the biggest issue the Steelers coaching staff could have had this training camp outside of, an IR level type of injury is kind of a soft tissue issue with Russell Wilson, simply because You've got highly acclaimed backup quarterback, and I use that term lightly. In other words, everybody knows who he is. You're creating a controversy if Wilson gets hurt and can't participate, which is what's happening now, because neither player knows the offense. Neither quarterback has any type of familiarity going into this with the offensive coordinator. At what point are you going to say, well, he isn't practicing much, this hasn't happened much, Fields has to be ahead of him just in terms of physical reps, right? Whether that's true or not, it's a question that's going to be asked every day of training camp. And you can probably get a sense of what if Fields plays a quarter on Friday against Houston and Wilson only plays a series and Fields does really well. At what point is a quarterback controversy going to be present with the Steelers? I find that kind of funny because the last quarterback controversy they had was between Mitch Trubisky and Kenny Pickett, and you kind of hope that this one, at the very least, can rank a little bit higher than that one ended up ranking. The situation that they're in, though, I feel like you've got that you really didn't need to have because you signed Wilson most likely, and I'm not reporting anything. I wasn't there, but I find it hard to believe that Russell Wilson, a starting-level NFL quarterback, and I'm not saying he's an all-pro, but a starting-level NFL quarterback, signed for $1 million with the team. That made him one of the most valuable, if not the most valuable, free agent signings in the market, just on value alone. It's hard to get a quarterback in March who can start for you for $1 million.
Right.
Backups went for $7, $8 million.
Mm-hmm.
Has that leverage over a team. Leverage is probably not the right word, but that's a good card to play. He has his choice, and I'm pretty sure he's going to say, if I sign for $1 million with you, which is way below market value, if I sign that with you, I'm going to start, right? Hint, hint, wink, wink. I feel like the Steelers probably entered into some type of agreement like that, mostly because they signed him when Kenny Pickett was on the roster. They acquired Fields, or they traded Kenny Pickett. Fields was not brought in to compete with Russell Wilson. It seems like that, but that's not how it happened. They could have acquired Fields long before they acquired Wilson. They wanted Wilson. The price was certainly good enough for Wilson, and you didn't have to give up anything for him. They ended up trading, day three picks for Fields, but you put them both in there, and the way that it all played out, Wilson had to have been the assumed starter. There was nothing of a competition going into camp. The fact that Wilson has not practiced as much, and Fields has done some things you hear about, looking pretty good, and, Fields has done that before. It's not that he's not physically talented. We know about him as a player. His performance on the field hasn't exactly been great, and while Wilson's hasn't either, you're probably going to give the advantage to the veteran. So to create a conflict at that position, it's not a good situation for Pittsburgh, and I'm not saying it's going to destroy the team or anything. It's just more they're going to have to answer a lot more questions, I think, than they probably would have wanted to. And if, by all accounts, Wilson got hurt doing conditioning drills, that's a bad sign in my mind. That doesn't look very good. I don't know how much exactly Wilson missed of physical reps or how much that's going to matter, but they're going to downplay it, that's for sure. Come week one, if Wilson isn't sharp, if he's not moving with an offense, in other words, if we get kind of the same offense we've seen in Pittsburgh the last 3 years, people are going to be calling for Fields pretty quickly into the season. That's absolutely not what the Steelers need.
No, they don't need that at all. In the first preseason game, I mean, is there anything you look for in anything like that? I mean, anybody you look for, like maybe roster spots 35 to 50? I mean, what are you looking at?
I think it's really a game, you don't want to get into results-based when it comes to preseason action. Good protection, good execution, a clean overall execution, a good throw down the field, a drop by a receiver. There are a lot of good things that happened on that play. There's one that wasn't so great. You have to analyze each individual part of that. You can't say the play is a failure because they didn't score in a game where the score is irrelevant. So you want to look at the individual components, how the players are performing with what they're being asked to do. Obviously, you're probably going to focus on the fact that the pass was dropped, but you're also, at the same time, going to look at the quarterback's final numbers. We did it all the time with three quarterbacks last season. You're going to look at the quarterback's final numbers and not take into account how the statistics were achieved. That's pointless, especially, it's not all that great in the regular season, let alone the preseason. Looking at them as individuals, which is really kind of what you do in the preseason, you have to be able to understand in context what they're being asked to do and how they were able to execute on that. So for me, a lot of it, you can learn a lot about the offensive line as far as what they're being asked to do. Is it a little bit more complex? Are they putting more movement, more trade-offs, switches, things like that, into their protection elements? That's something they do a whole lot in the preseason, but they might, try it a little bit here and there. And with that, are they doing it with the backups in the lineup? In other words, are the backups kind of getting a look, like, is this a guy that we can count on to start, or is there a legitimate competition between two guys as to who the starter is going to be? My opinion, there are not a whole lot of situations where you're legitimately having them compete against each other. You look at the Steelers, I think Troy Fatanu and Dan Moore Jr. probably at right tackle, it would seem. That's a realistic competition between the two, but that's not a competition that's going to start head-to-head on day one of training camp. Fatanu's a rookie. You need to kind of give him a chance to get used to everything that's going on. He starts with the second team. You let Moore, make his case for the first team with the first unit. You'll see Fatanu come in more as camp goes on and, winds up here reasonably quickly. Two preseason games with that. I think there's two before camp breaks, or maybe it's just one, but you'll probably see a mix of them both with the ones and with the twos. And from there, you can get a sense of potentially who's, better for the – you really kind of got to kind of look at it like the first four games of the season, not the entire season. Who's going to be better in that stretch? Last year, you had the same type of thing between Moore and Broderick Jones. And Jones, in preseason, I don't think he was I think it was fairly clear he wasn't ready to start at that, particular moment. Eventually, he would, due to Shook's core for, getting benched, and he got moved to the right side. But you saw a lot more of Jones as the season went on. So it's not imperative that Fatanu starts immediately, but what can you see of him in the preseason that gives you a sense that they're increasing his workload, his assignments. Is he good enough flat out to start over Dan Moore? Something I feel like he is able to do. But we'll see where where it finally comes down to. But you're looking at basic things, what they're being asked to do, and how well they can execute on those assignments.
It's interesting with a new coordinator in Arthur Smith. We don't really talk too much about OTAs, but how important do you think it was in OTAs that whatever he wants to install, the learning curve started there and it didn't have to start in training camp?
That's a good question. I think everybody present, and you've had the whole off season to draw all this up, to go over it, and to get ready to teach it. Tomlin has said this often. Minicamp is really designed to give the players a good walkthrough, if you will, on what they're going to do come training camp. He doesn't look at it so much as an evaluation period, but it is critical as far as their overall install goes. These are the things we're going to run. These are the concepts. Here's a breakdown on what your position unit is going to do generally. This package, these concepts, we're going to do these things. We're going to drill on these things. This is sort of what we're going to emphasize. This is our base. We're going to kind of move out of this. Really, it's kind of the 101 course of the offense as far as Arthur Smith is concerned in minicamp. You get into training camp, it's more advanced learning. You're going through it in shells initially. Then you're going to go through it in pads. And you're going to run some of that live, probably the root concepts. You do four or five different things off this one concept. We'll run the basic concept in preseason just to, get people used to how the call is during the game, what it sounds like in the huddle under the stadium lights, and execute on that. But the variations of all that is what they're using during the regular season. So it's the first step toward everything. And I think if you ask any coach this, and coaches, obviously are going to favor this mentality maybe a little bit more, but coaching is teaching. It's communicating. It's not ingenious schemes and, drawing up the wackiest plays that nobody's going to understand or ever see coming. It's about teaching guys to do the basic things within the framework of what you're doing. Only from there can you advance. You can't build on a bad foundation, right? The one-on-one class is the foundation. I think that you start to kind of set that in minicamp. Then come training camp is when you're really doing it all. And the player, it's up to the players to study it and learn it before camp so they have a good understanding of how everything works going into it. Then they can build. And a huge part of that is on a coach's ability to teach what they're trying to do, to add the variations to it, to get everybody on the same page. And that's something Arthur Smith is known to do pretty well. I think that's overall just a critical component of any success that they have this season. I think it's going to be rooted in how well they can get all these concepts down. And of course, all of that started in training camp, or in minicamp.
It's interesting how the judge stepped into the Sunday ticket and said the jury didn't understand the instructions. Okay, which is completely plausible, but still, for the NFL, a victory. Are you somebody that utilizes Sunday ticket, or are you just usually utilizing Red Zone?
I used, really, but I would have a Sunday ticket package in whatever form that's going to be. I had YouTube TV last year. Red Zone is a part of that. You can flip that on as well if you want. I did the split screen thing. I'd have one on there just to kind of see if something else was going on. But overall, I've gone back and forth on this. You and I have talked about it. I was surprised that the judge was as heavy-handed with this as he was, mm-hmm. In terms of the appeal. But it's hard to get past the jury didn't follow the instructions. Not something I expected to come, and to be honest, I think Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio has been the tip of the spear in covering all this. He didn't mention a whole lot of this till the end, so I don't know how many people really saw it coming. But yeah, definitely a big victory for the NFL. Now, whether or not you consider that to be a victory is another story. But I don't know. I don't know if it reached the point where I could have said the NFL purely and fairly was in the wrong, but I do think it's a lesson for them not to go too far down the path of we want a premium product, so we're going to charge a premium price. Maybe we're not at that point anymore. Maybe it is something that should be opened up a little bit more to a national audience at more of a reasonable price, and I think they could probably find a better one than what they have.
Right. Well, for the NFL, I mean, there's nobody better at cultivating money and not really giving a darn how they do it than the NFL. They're really, really good at it. Look, you'll enjoy it. Just get it. But don't know. No buts. You'll enjoy it. Just buy it.
You want it. You must have it. We know that. So we're going to keep pushing this. And that's what I mean. The phrase, the cliche as it goes, you know, pigs get fat and hogs get slaughtered. I think the NFL should consider that in a lot of what they're doing. You know, it's probably not a good idea to try to price Joe Sweatsock out of the market. I mean, that's really kind of what's gotten you there. So, you can do better overall and pass this on to the next generation if you keep it affordable and available for everybody to have.
Did we talk about the coaches interview thing? I'm trying to remember a week ago if we did or not.
We haven't.
Now, I want to ask you about that because they claim the fans want it. There isn't a single fan I've talked to that thinks, you're like, hey, whatever. Because outside of Mike McDaniel, nobody says anything. I mean, at all.
I'm glad you brought up McDaniel because that's the perfect example of what the coach's interview is. Mike McDaniel had the best all-time coach interview. When cameras approached him, he looked intentionally. He was doing it as a joke. He intentionally ran away from the camera. If you can do that, then great, have it. Otherwise, the only opinion on coaches' interviews is they're terrible and don't have them. For some reason, though, I find it interesting that fans are so quick to defend the coach as if they're incapable of speaking for 30 seconds or whatever it is. I don't think it's asking them a whole lot. I do think the stance that the fans want it is probably part of an umbrella statement that fans want accessibility. You know, they want the coach to speak. I don't think many of them are going to say the best time to do that is at halftime. Now, at the same time, it's also not a function that I would think the network wants themselves. Anything that kind of takes away from airtime is probably not the best thing from the game itself or from commercials. But I do think there's something to be said about you might get a good answer, something that you are truly breaking in front of people. You do get the possibility of, you know, Mike Tomlin said this during Sunday Night Football's broadcast. Those things are there, but at the same time, it's nearly impossible to get them to say anything original. There's not enough time. They'll just walk away if it's not, you know, going the way that they want it to. So, to me, it creates more atmosphere than it actually contributes positively to the broadcast. The first thing I think of, though, every year is John Harbaugh, who I don't know what happened or what was going on behind the scenes, but John Harbaugh, this is 10 years ago maybe, the Ravens play Washington every year in their preseason finale. And for whatever reason, Harbaugh just treated the reporter who was interviewing him, a Ravens employee, just treated him horribly. I mean, he was really mean to him.
Right.
Completely unnecessary. It's like, wow, what happened here? It's like they got into a fight before the game or something. Just an odd situation. Now, just for somebody that enjoys things like that, I thought, you know, it's kind of good to have it. But I don't think anybody sees it as a true value add to their experience. I think the network can want it to have that potential viral moment or big quote. But coaches, you know, you can go back and watch a game from 15 years ago. You see how much more respected coaches approach interviews. They're not giving up anything. Long gone are the Denny Green rants. You know, we don't see that kind of thing those spontaneous moments anymore. I think as you know, somebody who's working in TV is always going to want the opportunity for that. They're going to want live TV. But coaches are so buttoned up now, with the exception of McDaniel, who's a breath of fresh air that, let's be honest, that's going to wear thin sooner rather than later. It's fun to watch. It's a good part of the experience. But the world of difference between what Mike McDaniel is going to do versus, say, Pete Carroll, versus or not Pete Carroll. Obviously, he's not out there anymore. But Mike Tomlin, experienced, savvy, buttoned up. You're not going to get a whole lot from a coach that's on the hot seat. So I don't know how much it really adds. It doesn't matter. If it wasn't there, I wouldn't mind, let's put it that way. And I think most fans would say the same thing.
I'll say this, RB. We get two questions at halftime with James Franklin, and Brian Tripp's the one that does it on the field. He pretty much, in two questions, tells it like it is, and then we move on. Okay. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you're not there doing extensive, long-winded paragraphs, but he tells you exactly what he thinks of the moment and what he's going to tell the team. Okay. That's good enough.
I think the what he's going to tell the team, I think, is good, or what he just told the team. If you can, at the very least, get the coach to sell something of an honest answer, I think that's good insight. I don't mind hearing that, just out of curiosity, if it matches up with what I'm thinking, or if there is something specific. But at the same time, you put Brian down there to ask him about the most controversial thing that just happened. You know, you're putting him in the line of fire. You know, you're worried that the coach is going to melt down or whatever it is. But they can always dip into the simple cliche answer and not get anything. And I would bet 2/3 of them pretty readily, whether they want to or not, are just going to give a pretty stoic general answer.
I'm forced to do this, so I will. Thank you. I feel better as a viewer now. I feel like you're watching a guy in a 30-second hostage situation. It's like, all
exactly.
Right, great.
And that's, you can see it in the faces of some of them. They're, you can tell by their forearms, they're clenched. They don't really want to do it. At the same time, though, let's not act like they're asking them to, go sing a dance at a birthday party or anything. And it's not that big of a deal. But there's plenty of time available for you to get in the locker room and do the things that you need to do. I respect the jobs the coaches have. I guess I can defend either side of it. I don't think the coach is getting pompous about having to do it. It's that big of a deal. It's literally the shortest interview they're going to do all year long. And it's quick, it's simple, get in and out. Give the fans a little bit, but they're not under no obligation to be honest about it, so they can just say whatever. And many of them do exactly that. Just, got to run the ball better, got to play defense, got to stay together. We're gonna go get it in the second half.
TV is spending too many time thinking about gimmicks or what to talk about big picture and opposed to just doing the game. So just do the game. That's why people are watching. They're watching the game. I don't care what your opinion is on the 12-team playoff. You don't have a vote. Okay. Neil, always a pleasure.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
This half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia. It's 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf and online at sunburymotors.com here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Your home for the suit.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patience. patronage.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.
Free beer, yeah. Free wine, free cider.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us, brought to you by Brewers Outlet this half hour. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies. Pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament is tomorrow. And remember I said before they were talking about an inch of rain this hour? It was incorrect. It meant to say 0.17 instead of 1.7. Like, I don't think that looks right. So tomorrow for the golf tournament, let's go back to the beautiful, wonderful world of hour by hour. And, yeah, there's some rain tonight.
No, I'm more excited by the 71 than anything.
Yeah, I bet.
I don't want it to be 90.
No, it's 70 degrees. I mean, yeah. the high temperature during the tournament, 73. Very nice. And it says here it'll rain at 9 o'clock right before the tournament starts. I think the tournament starts at 10, right?
Registration's 9. Shotgun start is 10, I believe.
Yeah. Well, 10 o'clock, it says no rain. 10, 11, noon, 1, 2, 3, and 4, no rain. So there you go. That's for Sealands Grove. It's not for State College. That's Sealands Grove. So if that holds, and right now we're less than 24 hours from the start, that holds, that it's going to work out perfectly. The hole is when we play. So,
crossing my fingers.
Yeah, me too. Because I'm looking forward to it very much. I'm very much looking forward to it tomorrow. This is an event I have loved going to. Genuinely loved going to it for years. Seeing everybody, the chance for me to connect with everybody. I think the world of the Purdy's. You know, seeing Tom Mertz, who's just phenomenal. You know, every once in a while Corey shows up, great. I mean, look, I'm just looking forward to seeing everybody. I have a chance to, you know, sit down and break a little bread with you.
I know we've said this a couple times recently. It is odd we do this radio show and it's going to be the first time we're in the same room in 9 months.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. You know, and Todd's done it. I mean, a phenomenal job. So,
well, thank you.
A phenomenal job.
I just can't believe it's 9 months in August already.
Yeah, how about that? How about that? And we've had a great time, a lot of fun, a lot of laughs. Tackled some serious stuff from time to time, and we'll tackle more serious stuff from time to time. This is going to be a lot of fun. And I think I'm with Steve Engel and the Purdy's tomorrow, I think. We do not know yet whether Scotty the Suit Scheffler is going to be playing.
I don't think the Suit will be playing now.
What?
I'm I'm not sure we'll see the suit tomorrow, to be honest.
Wow.
He is a bit under the weather currently.
Boy, the odds of having a good time just increased.
Oh.
What?
Poor guy.
What?
You're kicking him when he's down. Wait. He's kind of always down, though, isn't he?
You kind of have figured out his life.
No. Now I'm getting in on it.
Oh, my goodness. I think the U.S. women's soccer team won today. They scored a goal. So Sophia Smith scored a goal in extra time. And I think they won 1-0. Yeah. I guess it's not quite over yet, is it? Should be over. I mean, how long is extra time? It's got to be over, right? Yeah, match ends. 1-0 U.S. beat Germany. And Sophia Smith scored, I think, in the 95th minute of extra time. And they won 1-0. That's a great win for them. And they've just, that team has just gone about its business. Melissa Nayer gets another shutout, the Penn Stater. And, you know, that's a great win for them. Now, the U.S. men's basketball team will be playing. Did I bring up earlier about the attendance?
No.
This is one of the underreported stories of the game. The women's basketball attendance has been good, except there's one team that's averaging 4,000 to 6,000 fewer fans per game than the other women's teams in the tournament. You know which team that is?
I'm guessing the Americans?
Yeah, it's the Americans. Now, that I don't know why.
Honestly, probably because they're assuming they're going to win and it's going to be a blowout.
I mean, the European teams have been drawing well. The U.S. women's Olympic basketball team is not drawing well, and there's some people saying one of the reasons they haven't is they're disappointed Caitlin Clark wasn't put on the team. Now, I mean, I don't know. Don't look at me. I can't in a million years tell you what the reasoning is, because we're obviously not doing the show from Paris, nor do I want to be there. Everybody I talk to that covers the Olympics of late, not back in Barcelona or Atlanta, whatever, but in this century, the people who covered say it's a miserable experience. That the IOC makes it very difficult for you to do your job. So the U.S. will play Brazil in men's basketball at 3:30 at Bercy Arena. That's going to be on USA Network, by the way. And the who's going to start? I have no idea. I mean, we know LeBron and Steph will start. They've started every game so far. But the key players have been Kevin Durant and Anthony Edwards off the bench. They've been terrific. They've played really well. They have a guy named Bruno Caboclo, who is supposed to be the Brazilian Kevin Durant. Okay.
Right. I mean, he had a cup of coffee in the NBA, but I believe Brazilian Kevin Durant's doing a lot of work there.
Ooh. It's quite the rep, I'll say that.
Yeah.
It's a lot to live up to. Why don't you be the first Bruno? You don't have to be the next Kevin Durant. Just be the first Bruno. Meanwhile, Nikola Jokic and Serbia into the semifinals. They won in overtime over Australia. Jokic is a great player unto himself, but he has the ability as a big man to make everybody else around him better. You see when he gives you a guy a bounce pass inside, the pass is done in such a way where it's leading the guy into the basket. If he tosses it to the outside, he puts it right in the shooting pocket where you just have to grab and go. And, you know, that's And he had 21 points, 14 boards himself today. And they beat Australia 95-90 in overtime. Bogdan Bogdanovic had 17 for Serbia. They were down by 24 in the first half.
When I watched them against the United States, I was stunned about how poorly they played.
Yeah, I agree. But they were down by 24, and here's the issue. When you're down 24 in an Olympic game, this is the part people have to think about. If you're down by 24 in an NBA game, you have up until 48 minutes to make it up. If you're down by 24 in an Olympic game, you have eight fewer minutes to make it up. It's a 40-minute game. So it's a little bit different. So, I mean, they came back and won. And there you go.
I think we that's who we play if we beat Brazil.
Right. It is Serbia. Yeah. Yes, it'll be Serbia. And it's one thing about having it in Paris is that we're doing the show and we're giving you results as the show goes along. Los Angeles is got to be for for NBC, it's got to be the whole ball game. It's got to be the whole ball game. Live, U.S., they can really put times exactly where they need it in the broadcast schedule. When it's, you know, in Europe like this, a little bit different. I mean, they've done a good job. Now, to their credit, they've done a great job of, of putting a lot of stuff on live and then showing it later. One other note, Big Ten Network, they do their training camps. Today's the day they've got Penn State, okay? So today is the training camp for Penn State today, all right? Jerry DiNardo was there yesterday, and I was talked to Jerry a little bit before practice and a little bit during practice. Dave Revson and Howard Griffith were at Maryland yesterday because that's who was up, and they were on the bus coming up here, and they're going to join. I think they're already here, in fact, to join Jerry here. And I know Howard Griffith, I believe, was scheduled to talk with Abdul Carter today. So, and I know it's going to air. The producer was here yesterday, and it's going to air, I think, at 10 o'clock tonight, I think. Then it's going to be replayed tomorrow at midnight, 5 a.m., 11 a.m. I talked to their producer for a little bit. So it's going to be at 10 o'clock tonight on BTN. It's their camp tour. And Jerry was telling me about Oregon. And I said, that's a place I have not been. And he says, it's interesting. He said, they were all around the football stuff. And he looked at me, he says, Steve, they told me they in the center of campus they have this incredible track stadium, but I never saw it. I'm like, well, I know when I get out there, I'm going to go see it. But he told me, for example, that the facilities they have at Oregon are excellent. He said, but what's interesting, he says, the Penn State weight room's better than theirs, and it's bigger. I'm like, oh. Interesting. Very interesting. And the other tidbit I got out of it, and it wasn't from Jerry, it was from actually the producer. You know how Northwestern has to play at their soccer field, which is right next to their indoor facility for the next 2 years? You know what they did? They brought in the guys that do the waste management open stadium setup. To set up their stadium, although it's going to be a three-sided because they only one side they can put some bleachers because of the lake, because it's right on the on Lake Michigan, and he said they brought in the people who do the waste management open stadium setup at the 16th hole to put up what they're putting up by the lake as their temporary stadium for 2 years. Interesting. Very interesting. We will take a break. Wrap it up in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
All right. But something about the Olympics and international competition brings it with it some of the things I just consider to be stupid. And this is one of them. Did you see on the beam, and this made no difference in medals, zero. But Simone Biles was deducted 0.3 of a point because she didn't properly salute the judges when she was done.
That sounds like a judged sport.
You're supposed to acknowledge them when you start. You're supposed to acknowledge them at the end. She didn't do it long enough to suit them, so that she got deducted 0.3. Like, you just sit there and go, all right. We're dealing with morons. I mean, you are an arrogant moron. Just do your job. Judge the damn thing.
It's just...
Right? Who do you think you are? do you need me to go over and kiss your ring? Okay, I'm out here performing. Figure it out. Was it good or not?
I wouldn't give him any ideas about kissing rings.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. That's why you saw that she did a lengthy, after her dismount on the floor exercise, she did a lengthy hands in the air, and that was her acknowledging the judges, making sure they didn't miss it.
Probably didn't acknowledge the judges the way she would have liked to acknowledge the judges at that point either.
Right. Then Noah Lyles with the NBA guys, you saw that?
Hell, they were
he says, Celtics say they're world champions or whomever it is. He says, this is a world champion. They're just the United States champion. Right, the NBA guys are like, what is this guy talking about?
They were talking about his ego. It's like expecting a sprinter not to have an ego is like a chef or an NFL wide receiver not to have an ego.
I would just like to say that I enjoy eating in restaurants with great chefs.
Oh, so do I.
I don't care about your ego. I just love your food.